According to new data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, overall gun-related deaths in the United States are on the rise. Mass shootings are the most visible kind of gun violence, like those of the past few weeks in Pennsylvania, Florida, and California. But gun deaths overall, including suicide, show no signs of slowing down. Last month, the American College of Physicians released new guidelines around gun safety, calling for research into gun violence and urging doctors to communicate gun risks with their patients, kind of like what doctors do when it comes to asking their patients about smoking.
We ask our patients if they smoke. And if they say yes, then we start the process of talking to them about counseling and their desire to quit.
That's Dr. Sue Bornstein. She's the chair of the American College of Physicians Health and Public Policy Committee. And she's also one of the co-authors of the new report from the American College of Physicians.
We don't believe that asking about whether there are firearms in the home is really any different from that. But if they do have firearms in the home, then it's when we get into the more detailed questioning about, do you have children? Do you have adolescents? Do you have persons with dementia or serious mental illness?
But in response to the latest recommendations by doctors, the NRA tweeted this, quote, "Someone should tell self-important anti-gun doctors to stay in their lane." And that rubbed a lot of doctors very much the wrong way.
I think it really touched a nerve, the message from the NRA for us to, quote, "stay in our lane."
The NRA says the new report is based on bad science and that its authors don't respect gun ownership. But Dr. Bornstein says that's not the case.
We understand the Second Amendment. We accept that the Second Amendment is law, and that is not under consideration here. But what we really are asking for is common sense approaches to reducing the trauma, the injuries, and deaths that are associated with this epidemic. As physicians, we have a unique opportunity to potentially prevent or reduce gun violence if we see risk factors in our patients. And so knowing what those risk factors are, identifying them, and then asking our patients questions about whether they in fact have any of these risk factors.
In reaction to the NRA's comments, doctors across the country have come forward in protest, taking to social media to share their stories of the trauma of gun violence and their own struggles to save victims' lives. Many are using the hashtag #ThisIsMyLane. Some reached out to The Takeaway.
Moments you always remember. Medics furiously doing CPR on an 8-year-old. Small hole just above left eye. Best friend was showing off his dad's pistol. No hope. Such a small potty. Such a small hole. He died. You have no idea what we see when we close our eyes. This is my lane.
And like so many physicians, Dr. Bornstein's position on gun violence has been born out of bearing witness to that trauma.
My patient is a 15-year-old young man who was very depressed and suicidal and had access to a handgun and one day put the handgun under his chin, shot himself, and in the process lost his tongue, his jaw. He was not able to speak. He was not able to swallow. Those people stick in your mind for a long, long time.
We as physicians and other healthcare professionals, we're the ones that take care of victims every day, right?
Dr. Megan Ranney is an emergency physician and the chief research officer for the American Foundation for Firearm Injury Reduction in Medicine, or AFIRM. She's one of a flood of doctors who came forward to say gun violence is squarely in our lane.
We're the ones that tell parents that we've been unable to save their loved ones. And we're the ones that take care of the aftermath, the physical and psychological trauma that survivors have to live with.
Dr. Ranney has treated hundreds of gun violence victims in her career and says doctors are key to solving the gun violence crisis, just as they've been for so many other public health issues.
I think gun violence has traditionally been approached as a criminal justice issue when what it really is a public health issue. Shootings are an epidemic in the United States right now. The number of shootings is going up year after year, and it's just a kind of injury, just like any other. We've stopped epidemics before. We as physicians and other healthcare professionals know how to solve epidemics, and we can do the same for gun violence if we just approach it using the public health tools that we have.
And how do we go about that? Because we think about, I think about other public health issues like smoking, for example. We've seen a decline in the number of smokers in the United States. There have been campaigns for years. How do you do that with something as political and as contested as guns in America?
I think the biggest thing that we need to do is to make this not a political or a contested issue. And one of the things that I'm proud of is when you look at Affirm Research, the organization that I serve as chief research officer for, we're a collection of physicians, researchers, and healthcare professionals from every specialty and across the various healthcare professions. When you look at our advisory board and even my co-founder, many of them are gun owners. This does not have to be an us versus them issue. Most gun owners are actually very safe and follow safety precautions and know basic things like that it's important to keep a gun away from someone who's suicidal, right? So I think part of this is taking the discussion out of the political sphere and putting it back in the hands of public health experts, just as we've done for smoking or, heck, for safe sex, right? When you talk to your doctor about sex or drinking, we do it in a way that is nonpartisan and hopefully non-accusatory. I think we can do the same here.
Have you treated gun violence victims in the ER?
Oh, gosh, yes. It is part of, sadly, the bread and butter of emergency physicians' training and daily practice across this country. But the worst part, of course, are the people that have never made it to us. A large percentage of gun violence victims die before they even make it to our doors. And part of our mission is to create hope for those folks, right? To create hope that it doesn't have to be this way, that we're not losing people before they get to us, and that we don't have to do as many resuscitations in the ER and the OR. We want to create a better way where we prevent these gunshots from happening.
I'm wondering when this became an issue for you. Was there a moment in your career as a physician that made the turning point for you, or was there a patient whose story really stands out that made you want to focus on this issue?
So there are two things. One was early in my career as an attendee. And so after I'd finished my residency, I was in my trauma rooms, and there was a call for a code blue young male gunshot wound. And my trauma team prepared like we always do. And we thought we knew what would be coming. And what actually rolled in was a young man who had shot himself in the head. And it turned out that he'd actually used a family member's gun. And that moment stuck with me because I had never before and have never since seen a suicide attempt with a gun, because guns are different and are more likely to kill. And then the second thing, of course, was Sandy Hook. I will never forget watching those pictures come across my newsfeed, the pictures of the little kids, right, being marched out of that school to be reunited with their parents. And then the parents who never were able to be reunited with their kids. I'm friends with some of the physicians that were at the hospital that day and did their best to save the kids that made it there. And that was really the moment when I said that I can't be silent on this issue. I and many of my colleagues have expertise, and we know how to solve epidemics like this, and it's time for us to come together and do that. We founded Affirm Research a year ago after the Las Vegas shooting, because it was very apparent that there was not going to be action on the part of Congress or legislators. This is something that we can do ourselves. It doesn't have to be this way. We don't have to let 200 people be injured and 100 people be killed across the United States every single day. We can use science to reduce the death toll and to stop shooters before they shoot.
Is the medical community, from your point of view, united in this approach, if you will, or in feeling that they do have something, they do play a role in this epidemic of gun violence, or at least in preventing it?
Absolutely. And an important point there is that many physicians and many healthcare professionals are gun owners. So going back to what I said earlier, that this isn't an us versus them issue, within medicine, it really isn't. We know that we're the ones who take care of the victims. And one of the things that I'm so proud of is that we really have brought together both sides and made this a nonpartisan issue. Collectively, we represent the will of medicine to tackle this epidemic the same way that we fixed car crashes or decreased deaths from HIV. We know what it takes, and we really have the will to do it.
Dr. Megan Ranney is an emergency physician, chief research officer for the American Foundation for Firearm Injury Reduction in Medicine. Doctor, thank you for sharing your time with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right, everyone. So this idea that doctors should talk to patients about gun violence risks and treat gun violence like a public health issue, well, we wanted to know if that's something that you've ever experienced at the doctor's office and if you think those conversations belong there.
Hey, this is Tim from Vandalia, Illinois. Sadly, I've never had any conversation with any physician about gun safety or anything like that.
I was asked by my doctor if I had guns at home, if they were secure, if I was afraid or in fear of gun violence, and whether I was safe at home. Janice Plord, Nantucket.
Hi, my name is Amy. I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota. No, my doctor did not discuss guns with me. She barely had time to talk about my physical needs. I think doctors absolutely should be having this conversation.
Rika, Grants Pass, Oregon. I would consider a conversation about gun violence in my doctor's office to be inappropriate in our city, which has very few gun deaths or injuries.
And we also got this from a doctor who shared her perspective.
Asked a six-year-old today what he would do if he found a gun while playing at a friend's house. He said he'd grab it and play with it. His mom was shocked. I wasn't. It was the most important thing I talked about at his well visit. This is my lane.
Thanks for weighing in. You can keep the conversation going at 877-8-MY-TAPE.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.